what I do, translate culture, make it possible for our culture to continue to have the significance impact on global fashion it has now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to You Have to Wear Something, the podcast that explores those wardrobe decisions we make every day and educates, empowers, and entertains culturally through fashion history, business, and style trends. I am your host, Nicole, a creative bridge builder with a mission to elevate marginalized voices and individuals. And get ready for the plug, owner of Shop GU, J-I-Y-U. It means freedom, y'all. Go and check me out. Now, this is the first full week all year in LA that we have had no rain. It has rained 65 days out of the entire year, of roughly 90-ish days, and people are finally outside, which means we should see a drastic change in what we will be wearing, because you have to wear something or you will be off to jail like Trump. Now, I have a very important question, especially for my fellow Chicagoans. Is Averex back? You know, Averex jackets, a hood and wrapper favorite that I could never muster to put on my bag. Just a bit too urban for me, but I will always co-sign on the hood, being able to express themselves fully, since we all know that so many trends come straight from poor Black and brown folks. So I thought it was clever and subversive for Latto to wear a deconstructed Averex jacket and skirt in her video. And then later I saw the man of the hour, Damson Idris. I don't know if y'all watching Snowfall right now, but it is very good. He was styled in an Averex jacket for his latest shoot. I don't love the jacket per se, but I love the audacity to wear one and what it does for the culture. I imagine we will be seeing a lot more Averex, I predict, on NBA players next. So keep an eye on league fits for the next wave of high meets low looks soon. Next on my mind with this little catch up is the See You Next Tuesday, Candace Owens, who mocked Skims for including a model in a wheelchair for a recent campaign, saying that inclusiveness has gotten out of control. Because why? They don't need draws too. Dear Candace, you are trash. The end. Next is, well, next in fashion now. Who were y'all rooting for on Next in Fashion? Because Nigel won, sorry to spoil it, but he did, the patchwork and denim king. And I also thought he had the most growth since he had never designed for women before. But I was so surprised, pleased, but surprised that Amari made it so far, having rarely finished a look, sewing very slowly. And I'm just gonna say it was probably her sweet charm that kept winning over the judges, because baby, Desiree killed it and did not deserve to be booted off when she did. Very weird decision, but you know, they do things on purpose to piss people off too, so there's that. But I truly felt like Tan and Gigi brought compassion to a very diverse set of contestants that had Black and brown women, men, gay, queer people, trans people, and even a chubby white woman. So diversity won in every way. I probably can't say chubby anymore, but I'm gonna go ahead and say it for now. But anyway, the point is, it wasn't all white people with token contestants, and that was refreshing. Bao needed this boost to her business. She is the cutout queen, and I hope this gives her back time with her kids. And DeAndre deserves a position in couture, y'all. Somewhere, somehow, we need to get him up out of that law office. You know, hey, look, you know what they should give every contestant, actually? You know what they should really give them? A job. They should give them a job in fashion. All of the losers should have jobs. And that's my tangent. Scaparelli, pick up DeAndre's stat. You hear me? Now, finally on everyone's lips, quiet luxury. Shh. While other brands are down in sales, Amerino Gildo Zegna is up. And there starts the way for a minimal fashion without logos, hence the change in guard away from maximalism at Gucci with the exit of Alessandro Michele, which honestly, his circuit fashion gave what it was supposed to give to Gucci, not just a boost in visibility, but a huge boost in sales. But anyway, you can't speak about quiet luxury without chatting about that damn Burberry bag in Succession. Now, they dragged the bag for filth, but there was nothing wrong with the bag. There's nothing wrong with Burberry. It's also known as the ludicrously capacious Burberry bag because searches for that ludicrously capacious Burberry bag spiked after the Succession premiere, also known as stealth wealth. So here was the scene. At Logan's birthday party, Greg's date, Bridget, quickly became a fashion victim. His disgusting brother, Tom, called out her tartan Burberry tote as ludicrously capacious. Was even in there, flat shoes for the subway, her lunch pail. I mean, Greg, it's monstrous, he said. It's gargantuan. You can take it camping. You could slide it across the floor after a bank job. It was sort of the perfect roast, and it sent viewers reeling, memeing, and looking for the bag. The style in question is Burberry's medium title vintage check two-handle bag. That's the official name. A structured satchel completely covered in the brand's signature tartan plaid. It retails for $2,890 at Nordstrom. And since the episode aired, the search for just basically Burberry tote has jumped 310%. It is trending. People are going to buy this bag, either on purpose or ironically. And I would go as far to say that there is no such thing as bad publicity. It just shows you that shows still have a huge impact on consumer trends. And with this Gwyneth, I wish you well trial over, after Miss Goop gave 1%er Lux Normcore, also known as, again, stealth wealth, all last month, quiet luxury may be more than meets the eye, acting as a reflection of our financial climate and laying the foundation for the return of beloved designer Phoebe Philo. But before we get ahead of ourselves, let's set the record straight on what quiet luxury even is. Simply put, quiet luxury is new age minimalism with a larger focus on investment pieces and thoughtful shopping habits. While aesthetically similar to the minimalist movement we witnessed in 08 to 2016, in terms of wearing a neutral color palette and rejecting logos, it's all about curating a selection of high quality wearable pieces that seamlessly work with the rest of your wardrobe, or what is also known as your personal capsule collection. Think Gwyneth Paltrow's courtroom green overcoat from The Row. It's not about breaking the bank in the name of a cashmere sweater, but rather taking a slower, more simplistic approach to dressing. Luxury for many of us is the same as quality. It's a pared down aesthetic that's been brewing for a while. Think of the labels The Row, Totem, Loewe, Tove. They've all built empires over entire brands around a steady stream of loyal customers who prefer refined tailoring over loud and proud monograms. However, over the last 6 months, quiet luxury has found its way to the center stage with Succession. And with any style moving comes the question, why right now? Considering only 18 months ago, we were fawning over the Gucci times Balenciaga hacking project and heading to the club in our post-pandemic party logos, it feels sudden for us to all of a sudden embrace a pared-down wardrobe. In lockdown, we wore less outfits than ever before, realizing how few pieces of clothing we actually need. And I see a correlation with the downturn in the economy tied to less logos on clothes. Maybe it's not the time to be boastful, or you don't want people to know you're still rich during a recession. What's cool is quiet luxury can take off and exist while Barbiecore holds space for those who will continue to be loud. Those still going out on Easter Sunday, what do you wear today? All I know is I will be wearing the loud and the quiet and tuning in for more insecurity-based drags by Tom tonight on Succession. Enjoy your Resurrection Sunday, folks. Until next time, I say peace.